Here we delve into those topics that challenge us to think outside the limitations of realism, where we test the boundaries of imagination and are forced to think outside the confines and restrictions of what is normal. We are the creators, the writers, the artists, and the insane. Welcome to our weird realities.
Hello, all of you weird people, and Happy New Year. I hope everyone had a great holiday, and we're really glad that you could be with us tonight. We are going to be talking about seers and prophets and some of the predictions that they have made throughout history. You know, there are a lot of people that have predicted things, from Nostradamus to Mother Shipton to prophets in the Bible. You know, Caesar was warned in advance about him to wear the Ides of March, you know, and that came true. So we're going to kind of dig into that and see what we can come up with tonight. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Coming through loud.
Yes, I'm doing fine as well. Had a great Christmas and New Year.
Awesome. That's wonderful.
Got to go to bed about 9 o'clock. So that was good.
Yeah. You know, that's when I decided I was officially old, when I got invited to a New Year's party and said, you know, I think I'm going to pass.
That's me, and I'm sorry.
Okay. I hear me.
Well, I was trying to log in on my phone so I could see who's talking to us.
Okay, gotcha.
That is Laura Lehman Porter saying hi.
Hey, Laura.
And Laura Lewis saying hello, y'all. And I see that Landa's watching. There's Landa. Hey, Landa.
Hey, Landa.
I wish somebody could have predicted that my mixing board was going to blow up.
We're in a Mercury retrograde. Everything's going to, that techno is going to give you some issues.
And I'm going to tell you, it has been coming in strong this week. I mean, we have had problems with equipment at work all week long.
This retrograde started in 2022, and the shadow period seemed like it was a full force retrograde.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I am experiencing it. I don't even want to tell y'all the stuff that's happened to me this week. Let's just say I'm getting
say just about over it. Doesn't it go out like the 14th, I think?
The 19th or 18th, I think.
Come on, I wanted it to be the 14th.
Sorry.
Yeah. Rough. It has been rough. But that's okay. You know, it could be worse. It could always be worse. So,
well, I was telling my sometimes significant other that it's not something I want to happen. Because I think they were like, oh, you're all about the woo. And it's like, this ain't about the woo. I don't like the Mercury retrograde. It's, you know, I've learned to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't really into astrology. I mean, I knew my sign and, you know, I knew my planets and stuff like that. But I didn't know how the retrogrades really affected us.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been, ever since I've been introduced to the concept of the Mercury retrograde, that it has been beat in my head. Oh, my God, it's coming.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Lock down your cell phones and your computers because it's about to get real.
I have an entire department that they do data analytics. You know, they are huge numbers people. And I had it to the point where when one of them had a problem, they'd come to my room and say, is Mercury in retrograde yet? You know? So I gave them all a calendar, you know, in the whole nine yards. And even now they swear by it. Because, like I said, it happens. It's crazy. It's those predictions.
Well, it's one of those things that, you know, anything that can and will go wrong will.
Oh, yeah.
You can't tell, but I'm very, very mad right now.
My stuff is coming back from some legal stuff I've been working on since like May. Was done wrong, and I found out today. And so all this, you know, counting chickens that I know better than to do, I counted my chickens and now I'm just SOL.
Oh,
oh
boy. I hate to hear that.
Yeah. So, yes. Prophets and seers, huh?
Yep, prophets and seers. Who's your favorite, Cecil?
Oh, I don't know very many of them. I know, you know, Nostradamus and the prophets in the Bible and things of that nature. And what's her name? Baba Vagas.
Right.
Vangas. There's a few of them that I know about, but it's one of those areas where I'm not really well versed in because I don't take much credence into a prophet or a seer. Mm-hmm. I feel like anybody, if they sit around and say enough things, that eventually something that they're going to say is, will come true. But there is a possibility some people out there may be able to see into the future somewhat.
I'm going to have to disagree.
Go for it.
They shape governments. They shape kingdoms. Mm-hmm. And that was something that for centuries was turned to. And it wasn't just the Greeks or the Romans. It was, you know, a lot of different kingdoms and stuff over the millennia have totally turned to prophets and seers to help them shape the way they're going to go forward in battle or negotiate. I mean, most recently, let's look at the Hitler and the Nazi party. We know how into the occult they were. Mm-hmm. And it was to the point where they were arresting psychics.
Right. Well, with this right here, I mean, every government throughout history, they just as you said, they've always had their diviners or sorcerers or seers or whatever, all of them, mm-hmm. all the way back.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I remember when I was a teenager and Reagan was in office and it came out that he was, you know, regularly consulting a psychic.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, yeah. People lost their minds. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nancy did for sure. I wasn't too sure about President Reagan, but I knew for sure that Nancy did. It's not surprising that he would as well.
Nancy wrote more the pants. Come on, Stephen.
I didn't argue that.
But I mean, it really does. I mean, I think we'd be surprised to know. I mean, in this time, this will start going into the, you know, CIA and their clandestine affairs. But when you start looking at the psychic research that our government has done, they spent billions of dollars into psychic research. There's a reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not to disprove psychicism. It's to, you know, see how to use it.
Yeah, you know, it was even, I know the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they even put that in a song, you know, the psychic spies from China.
Well, you know, they say that that psychics were responsible for where they found Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that little hole, well, y'all remember that?
Yeah, the men at Sterrett Goetz, you know, that was based on, may have been loosely based on the truth, but it was based on the truth.
Yeah, that program took place at Fort Bragg, and I was taken by the building where that was done.
Yeah.
Where the gates were kept, I guess.
That's the perfect example of one of those movies that you saw the entire best parts of that movie in the trailers, because the rest of it sucked. And I was looking forward to it because, you know, I knew it was loosely based, you know, on government stuff. And I was like, oh, that's going to be really good. But no, they didn't give us but just enough to try to make it funny, and they didn't even succeed at that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But you know, they've had, you know, prophets all throughout history. You know, there was Mother Shipton over in England. You know, she predicted the end times and the rule of multiple kings in England. Then, you, of course, Nostradamus, most of us know. Edgar Cayce, you know, in the early part of the 19th century. And then the Bible, you know, there are tons of prophets in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. There's over 40.
Uh-huh. Exactly. You know, and Cecil, I don't necessarily disagree with, yeah, a lot of them got lucky. Like, the ones that are, like, you know, selling their services for 99 cents a minute on TV, I think are a hoax. But, you know, I do believe that there are people out there that are blessed or cursed with glimpses of the future.
I would agree that there's some people that could probably see into the future and things of that nature. I always lean toward the fringe when it comes to that. But that seems like a skill that, I don't know, would that be something that you would be born with? Is that something that's given to you? or is it something that develops over time? Like, is it like a muscle you have to work out? That's what the government tried to do with it.
Right. With the government, with those, I guess, I don't know if they'd be considered whistleblowers or what, but with the government, you know, they said that everybody's pretty much capable of doing what they showed in the movie, you know, the men who start goats.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has that capability if they can learn to develop it.
Right. Right. You know, and there are so many limitations in everything that we are taught from a young age, you know, that can't happen, that doesn't happen, you know, that most people, you know, kind of move away from those things after their children because, you know, they've been told that that can't happen. So mm-hmm. I think you have to have a certain mindset to be able to develop that kind of thing.
Right. You know, to me, I honestly believe that in some families, I think somehow this kind of passes on from one generation to another, you know, in the fact that some people were, I don't know if you want to call it a premonition or they get glimpses of the future or whatever, and they can actually see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe in some families, you know, it's probably somehow it seems to pass on in that way.
Yeah. Well, I know, and like I said, you know, this is just personal experience. I've over time had prophetic dreams, you know, not with any regularity or anything, but like when my dad passed away, I knew for about 3 months it was coming because those particular types of dreams have a certain feel to them. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew it was coming soon. And it was about 3 months later that he was killed.
Yeah.
And everything. And my daughter does the same thing. Now, she really does. She avoids it for everything it's worth. You know, she does not like it, you know, to know those things and everything. And I get it, you know, especially when it's bad things, you know. I mean,
right. Yeah,
you can't dream of having the lottery. You know, that'd be too easy.
No. Those kind of dreams are not comforting whenever you know that, you know, when you know that there's going to be sadness coming.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And that was her thing. Cause like I said, you know, she actually had the same dream, you know, about my dad. And then her grandmother who had passed away about a year and a half earlier, she had dreamed that she was going to die and everything. Mm-hmm. So like I said, you know, it's never anything good. It's always going to be something, you know, traumatic or, you know, like I said, I would love to be able to say, Cecil, you're going to win the lottery tonight and we're sharing.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so too. And if not you, then me. I mean,
well, and that was something that I brought with me tonight. Was I had found in the last couple of days a couple of sets of notes that I took from that incredible psychic that I used to speak with a couple of times a year. Y'all heard me talk about Suzette Cooksey. And Suzette Cooksey is a psychic out of Tampa, Florida. She stopped working in 2020. I would love to say she's come back to work, but she hasn't. But her readings were so on the nose that I would say, and I'm a skeptic. So when I say this, please understand it comes from most people can't read for me. You know, I've been reading and experiencing tarot and dream, and, you know, prophetic dreams in my family and being around witchy people or psychics, you know, my entire life. And I, when I say this, most psychics cannot get a read on me. And for whatever reason, this lady tuned into me and I would say, sorry. sorry. He wants up. He's apparently going to be the mascot now. He's taking Boo's place. But she was pretty much 85% to 90% accurate on everything she gave me. And I found some stuff tonight. And one of them I wanted to kind of touch base on was from 2018. And she identifies my current relationship.
Really?
Yes. Because she saw him in a, that he works offshore. But he was not a platform worker. And my current guy, and she actually, I have a note in here. She says Exxon. That she's, and he did work for Exxon, but he's a scientist.
Really?
And she saw it, and she nailed it down, and she's like, you're going to meet someone, you're, you know, and it's just layered out. But there were plenty of times, and this is one of the things that I did want to talk about, is a lot of times it's not that the psychic is wrong, it's the person doing the interpretation is wrong. Because she has told me time and time again, there would be people coming in, and she would say, coming into your life. There was a guy coming into my life, and I could not miss him. Keep it down. As y'all can tell, he is a handful. So, anyways, this guy that she had told me about, this was years ago, literally was in the middle of the road. Like, he was in the middle of the road. He was a police officer. And I knew him from a mutual friend. And this guy was directing traffic. And I could not have missed him if I tried, because he was right there. And he had been messaging me on Facebook and wanting to talk. And I was like, I ain't going to talk to this guy. And then I was like, oh, holy crap, there he is, right in the middle of the road. And it never came to anything, but, you know, he was there. But it was, you know, I wasn't looking for anyone, and it just wasn't the time for me. But it was very interesting to see that the part that we play in the predictions, as well as what we think about them. Because, you know, again, I didn't think she literally meant he would be in the middle of the road, but he was.
Yeah.
But she also could predict medical issues. She predicted medical issues for myself, my mother, and my father. She predicted and accurately predicted. Stuff I did not know, because y'all know that I have like staghorn kidney stones. Mm-hmm. And she predicted that I was going to have an issue with kidney stones. Well, I had never had kidney stones. So it was, you know, I just wasn't expecting that at all. But she was, like I said, very accurate. And it's, again, I think a lot of times people interpret things they want the way they want to, versus, you know, in 2018, when she told me about this guy, I didn't know anybody that was working offshore, you know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it wasn't until going over this guy that I'm seeing, going over his past, that I realized that he had done it. And it wasn't until I picked this back up and read it that I saw she was right. Mm-hmm. So, write that stuff down.
Yep. Well,
yeah.
You know,
but I told y'all this before. She saw me working in radio. Mm-hmm. And I was like, or TV. She said, you're going to be doing radio or TV or something. And I was like, no, I would never do that. And here we are.
That's funny.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
Well, and you know, there are definitely people. Because, do you remember that girl back, good God, 20 plus years ago, that her big thing was, you know, she could tell people about their past lives. And what she would do is go by cues, you know, like I had on moccasins, you know. So, of course, you know, oh, you're from, you know, the Old West.
You're a Native American princess. Yes. I remember. Yeah.
And she was like that with everybody. Like I said, you know, once we were talking after it was just, you know, a handful of us left, it's like, well, first off, you know, I have absolutely no connection to that era at all, no feelings for it or whatever, besides I don't particularly care for that time period, but I was never a cowboy, so but that's pretty much what she would do, is she would take cues, you know, the things you were wearing, things that she overheard you say and stuff like that, and kind of build a life around it. Mm. Yeah, so you know,
and that's what you have to be careful of. But I mean, at the same time, I think that people who you have your con artists and people who can read tales.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into, is that like a different type of being psychic? You know, and that I'm just, this is for me. I wonder these things. Mm-hmm. And because I had a friend one time who's like, he was very in tune to reading people, but he didn't consider it psychic. He considered it, because he had a background in psychology. And right. To me, psychology and the woo is very closely connected. So I found that a lot of people who are in mental health, and they, you know, I've got some friends with PhDs in psychology and some friends who are LPCs, they got their masters and they counsel people. And all of these people are very interested and in tune with the same stuff that we talk about.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating.
Right. A lot of them are really sensitive too. Mm-hmm. Maybe empathic. Would that be correct?
Yeah. Well, you know, they say that that profession has the highest suicide rate because so many times it's hard for them to separate what's theirs from the people they're counseling and everything, which makes perfect sense.
Right.
You know, I mean, because it's hard sometimes just carrying your stuff and then you're carrying around, you know, dozens of other people.
But, you know, like these predictions from... Like, for instance, the cell phone was predicted in like 1909. Do you think that's just like when people predict technologies and things like this, do you think that's based on like a foresight into what they see is going to happen? Or do you think that's like something that's like similar to what we're talking about where they can see events happening?
With Alexander Graham Bell, unless I'm horribly mistaken here, I believe that whenever he invented the telephone, had the first conversation, I believe he said that this was not the first time that had taken place.
Oh, yeah.
As if he had somehow he had access to some other knowledge that we don't.
Well, yeah, something from Tartaria or something.
Right. But
even if you look at some of the drawings, mechanical drawings and stuff from Leonardo da Vinci. You know, I mean, you know, wheels and planes and stuff like that, that he had to have gotten something from somewhere. You know, right. You need a point of reference, I think, to be able to come up with certain things.
Yeah.
I recently had run across a diagram talking about the different levels of consciousness. And one of those levels of consciousness was artistic consciousness, which existed past like deep meditation and deep sleep. But, you know, we've talked about this, and this brings me back to that thing that we've talked about before, which is I think that artists and creators go to a certain place and that we pull from that well. Mm-hmm. And to me, this feeds into that is that place that this consciousness comes from. But I wish I had kept a screenshot of that. Yeah. Thing, I haven't been able to find it again.
All right. Yeah, I can't necessarily say that for artists. You know, but I know with athletes, and this may be off topic here, but with athletes, whenever they get into a zone, all the noise and all the outside distractions and everything else, they can't hear it when they're in that moment. And I'm just wondering if that's kind of what you're talking about there.
It could be.
When they get in the zone,
right. It's that shared creative consciousness, yes. You know, where you can reach in and find things that you can't just in your normal waking moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm going to send this to y'all real quick. This is what I did find, and it's not the right one. But I think that y'all will appreciate this. Hold on, I'm going to send it to you.
I'm sorry, I'm not talking much. I can't control my voice because I can't hear myself.
Really?
Yeah, so I feel like I might be yelling.
No, you're fine.
This mixer breaking has destroyed my whole night.
That's okay. If you get too loud, we'll tell you to pipe down. You're our friend. Well, you know, even it's a tongue-in-cheek type thing, but it's still, when you look back at it, they talk about all the things that they have predicted on The Simpsons over the years.
Yes.
You know, and it's scary how much that they've actually talked about on there that ended up, like Donald Trump being president.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There was a Simpson episode.
It makes one think that Project Looking Glass could really be true.
Yeah, the Simpson thing is strange because I mean, they've predicted quite a few things. They've predicted Trump being president. They've kind of predicted 9/11. They've done quite a few different things. There's actually rumors of a lost episode, which this is, might be like a creepypasta. But apparently there's a lost episode where it was one of the Halloween specials. And you know how they used to go across the graveyard or whatever? Mm-hmm. They went across the graveyard and it had a bunch of celebrities' names on it. Mm-hmm. And it had their birthday and their death day on it. And a lot of them hadn't died yet.
Oh, wow. I think that the Simpsons topic is one we should like do a whole episode on.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
There's a lot of stuff out there about it. So it's not just Trump. It's not just one or two things. They have predicted accurately a number of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, that could be one of two things. With the elite, it seems as though they want to tell what they're going to do before they do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it would come out, it might be part of a movie, you know, that might reveal something in the future, or perhaps like with the Simpsons, in different ways. It seems as though there's some kind of rule that they're abiding by.
Right. Well, it's like the whole thing with, you know, when they finally admitted that aliens were real. You know, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times they say these really insignificant things because everybody knows aliens are real. You know, mm-hmm. whether you believe they're here among us or just they crashed, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, come on. We are not so special that we're the only beings in the universe. But but they save up, to me, what are small, insignificant things like that to cover up more important things that are going on or happening at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, it comes off sounding like, oh, well, you know, what this over here is not all that important. Oh my God, aliens are real. You know,
yeah.
We knew the government was covering it up. You know, mm-hmm. So
yeah, I used to from time to time years ago, I used to listen to a guy named Lindsey Williams. I think he was from Georgia, and he was friends with some elites, mm-hmm. and he occasionally would do talks and talk about the things that they had predicted that they were going to make happen in the future. So, yeah, because they have their plans laid out for a long time, mm-hmm. according to what he was saying.
Right, right. No, and, you know, like I said, that there's so much that, yeah, we probably know, but we'll never have validation, you know.
Right.
And everything, because like I said, yeah, there's just too much, you know, like I said, there's got to be a point of reference somewhere, you know, as much as I believe in imagination, I feel like there is only so far that imagination will go before you have to have something else contribute to it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, imagination alone is not going to have all this stuff happen. I mean, there has to be something working behind the scenes.
Right.
Right. To bring it about.
Yes. You know, because I can tell you, I'm still disappointed that the Jetsons happened in our time period and we don't have flying cars.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's possible enough to fly a car.
I could do it.
Well, I think I could do it.
Me and Cecil, we got this.
Well, you know, there's a theory about that too, that the Jetsons and the Flintstones take place at the exact same time. That even the Flintstones may be future too. Mm-hmm. Is one theory.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that could be the case. I mean, look at it now. Look at all the technology that exists today, mm-hmm. and you still have some indigenous groups living on islands or deep in the forest. Mm-hmm. They have none of that. They're still living in the Stone Age, mm-hmm. right this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They absolutely, because I was researching that tribe over in the Pacific that nobody's allowed on the island and everything, mm-hmm. because they've been totally separated. And yes. A few years ago, I think a missionary decided he was going to go and bring them God. And yeah, they killed him as soon as he got out of his canoe. And everything, but you know, he had you know, people from another island take him out there against the law, you know, because they have very strict rules about contact and everything. And like I said, you know, the family, I think, originally wanted to see about charging the natives for the death, and the Indian government's like, no, you know, no, you know, we're not doing that. So,
yeah, it's a, it was a, it was on that island, not far from Thailand. Was it 2012 when the tsunami hit?
Yes.
And they were concerned about it because they, I guess the government or whoever knew about the people who lived on the island, and they flew a, I think it was a helicopter over it. And they had spears thrown at them and arrows shot at them. Everybody on the island survived it. They they were not wiped out.
The aliens feel about us.
Uh-huh.
Every time we fly by, they try to shoot us down.
Yeah. Because I'm telling you, they roll up their windows and speed up when they go by.
sometimes we challenge them to come on back and confront me.
That's true.
Yeah. But like I said, you know, I mean, you look at things like I said, the Planet of the Apes, you know, which is exactly that scenario. But who's to say that, you know, again, there wasn't some basis there, you know, the time machine. There have been multiple creative works that dealt with that exact thing, you know, that we devolved back into Neanderthals and, you know, things like that.
Hey, so, Mark.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Happy New Year.
But, so, you know, which, of course, that's completely backwards from talking about predicting the future. But, you know, our Nostradamus was probably one of the first conspiracies, as it were, you know, that I researched when I was a teenager, you know, because he was well enough known that even my small town library had a book or two about him. And everything. And then I remember when the internet came alive and didn't cost you, you know, $1 a minute. And you could actually find things back then that you can't find now. There was a lot of information on him out there. A lot. You know, I mean, you know, the him predicting things like the rise of Hitler and, you know, the three antichrists and the whole nine yards. You know, I'm still waiting to see what happens with that third one. There's been a time or two I thought we were already there, but, you know, I don't think we have been.
I don't think we have been either. The first Antichrist was Napoleon, and then the second one was Hista, Hitler.
Yeah.
The third one, who did they say the third one was supposed to be? They were supposed to be
something from the somebody from the Middle East. It's the only thing I could remember off the top of my head was that it was supposed to be someone from the Middle East. And, yes, they should have been born by now.
Yeah.
And everything.
Okay. Yeah. With the, I think one of the first things that Nostradamus predicted was the death of the king, you know, in a jousting
kind of
And, you know, he was making some of these predictions back in a time when you really didn't want to say those kind of things out loud because they burned you at the stake.
Right. That's the one thing I really wish that Nostradamus had not hadn't written it in secret or code or whatever. His quatrains, you know, the way that it has it written, you know, if he truly did have all this information accurate and it's not modern day people, you know, who are Nostradamus fans massaging what he wrote, you know, that to me that would have been far more interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Because like I said, you know, it was interesting and you know it's like every other great work that, you know, came along many, 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 many centuries ago. They have been doctored and interpreted, you know, I use that word very loosely,
right?
You know, because, I mean, it's the same thing with, like with the Bible, you know, who decided what to leave out of it, you know, and what should be in it and everything like that.
Yeah. To me, one of the funny things about the Bible is, you know, through the years, you've always had people try to predict the date when Jesus was going to come back.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's in 1800s, you know, you had Charles Taze Russell and some other folks. And then you had 88 reasons in 88 why Jesus was going to come back in 88.
Yes.
You know, and then was it? What was the guy's name from New York or Jersey or somewhere up there, you know, camping? he predicted it most recently. You know, they've all been wrong, you know.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, and you know, like I said, I think that there have been people throughout history that have tried to bring about things like the end of the world because of their erratic beliefs or things that they feel that they have predicted, you know, or someone that they knew predicted. So, you know, if it won't do it on its own, then I'll just go ahead and, you know, go in.
Yeah. I will admit, you know, I know there's some really frightening passages in the Bible that are future. They haven't come to pass yet. It's terrifying.
I remember my aunt, my mom's youngest sister is probably about 10 years older than me. And she was babysitting us one night and mom told her, don't forget to tell them a story. So she decides to read us a Bible verse, which would have been fine and well, but you do not read a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old from Revelations. And, you know, of course, the next thing I remember is falling out of the top of the bunk bed onto the floor because devils were coming after me.
Oh,
you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably somebody that has a little bit older than five.
Right? Yeah, because like I said, I was 5 and he was 2. My baby brother hadn't been born yet, but yeah, because that's what I remember my mom asking her next morning, what did you read to them last night? She goes, well, I read them the Bible. Well, what did you read them? And I'm like, horses, mama, horses.
Yeah.
And, you know, she didn't just read one little, you know, section. She read,
you know. Yeah. And that's it. You know, it's a scary reading, you know, Revelation 18. That's that's frightening reading.
Yeah.
Because I know that there are a lot of people out there who are under the impression that that could be America. And if you read that, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's one of those things, like I said, you know, sometimes I sit back and I read some of these things and I'm wondering, you know, I could see that happening, you know, with very little provocation and very little imagination.
Yeah. I mean, all the technology and weapons of destruction, they exist right now. You know, Russia has that torpedo that can produce a 1600 foot high tsunami.
What? Really?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's terrifying, actually.
Right. Yeah. What's that going to do for a radiated water on a coastal city?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I actually was having a very good conversation with a 21-year-old last night. And he said, you know, that's the thing that scares him. He said is he feels like if there's a third world war, you know, in the next 20 years, he said, I feel like it's going to be electronic.
You know, for sure.
And everything. And I'm like, you know, you're not wrong. You know, but him talking about it, I mean, he's done the research, you know, and everything. So he was very well spoken and everything. So,
when I worked in cybercrime, that's the thing that you would be surprised is we're already under cyber attack. If you knew, they say only 15, and that, well, this was when I was working in it, which was 2020, that only like 15% of cyber crimes that we experience are reported. That's why it's a big push for Homeland and for the FBI to get those reports in. Even if they can't actually convict the people doing the crimes, is to trace it back.
Right.
Because a lot of times these trace back to China, to Russia, a number of other countries where they have no jurisdiction, but it is a it is a government paid operation of war. I'm sorry, Steve, I'm going to say this one more fact is in Mississippi in 2019, it was over $7 million that was reported lost in cybercrime related incidents. That was reported. This is in Mississippi, where we don't have the cash flow that states like Ohio or California or Texas has. So imagine that. And then imagine that only 15% of it is reported because people are too embarrassed or they don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's with North Korea, they almost pulled off a huge one. I'm not sure if it's last year or the year before. May have been 2020, when they almost got away with billions. Mm-hmm. North Korea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that I don't know if y'all remember this, but in the late, I want to say probably 2017 to 2020, there was a security hack on one of the credit monitoring companies. And it was found out that it was China that paid for that.
Wow.
But look, for like 5 years, I didn't have to pay to have my credit watched because, you know, Home Depot got hit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had bought something there, so they paid for a year. And then, you know, Lowe's got hit. So, I mean, like I said, for about 5 years, I had coverage from all over the place, you know.
Well, the IRS got hit, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's crazy.
I mean, when you start talking to people about cybercrime and they start realizing, hey, that happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Was it last year when the pipeline in somewhere in the eastern part of the country, southeast, was shut down for how many days?
Was it last year or the year before?
Was it?
I think it was. Well, everything's kind of blurry now, but I think it was 2021.
Was that when that was? Okay.
I think so.
And that was done. It was a cybercrime. You know, mm-hmm. they had to pay the people who were holding up the pipeline, you know, to release it.
One of my friends, that's crazy. That's what he does, is he works with the FBI, and he was working at a casino locally, an Indian casino, and this was an election year at the casino here, and there was a big cyber crime at the casino. And he said, like, his first day on the job that, you know, like, all these agents came in and were confiscating computers. And it turned out that the guy at the time that was in charge of the nation, not, this is the nation of the reservation. He was involved with some Russian mobsters. And so they had a vested interest in seeing him reelected. Well, he didn't get reelected, obviously, but yeah, I mean, I was like, wow, the Russian mafia would go that far into other states, you know, because you don't think about the Russians being in Mississippi.
Right. The Russians are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I hear what you're saying, but I'm hearing Tony Soprano saying to his sister Janice, don't F with the Russians, Janice.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, that's I mean, you know, I know there are a lot of people that like cover the camera on their computer and all that good stuff. But, I'm looking at my green light right now. You know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but I figure they've got the access if they want it.
Well, yeah, your phone and everything.
And if you got a smart TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or you remember when do y'all remember when the Ring door things got hacked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and if someone wants to get into your stuff, they can get into your stuff.
Oh yeah.
Unless you are totally locked down with your, you know, stuff encrypted. Even then, I mean, that comes back to the whole, you know, if someone's protecting something this heavy, you got to wonder what they're hiding. And that just makes those people want in more.
So, right.
Which I know that y'all know that I dated a guy from South Africa for a while. He was a hacker. Mm-hmm. And that was when I got over being hacked, is when we broke up, I knew if he wanted in, he could get in.
Deja vu.
I recognize that voice.
My bad. But a girl I used to work with, she was real big on, oh, I don't do banking online. I don't do this. I don't do that. And I'm like, okay, well, how do you pay your bills? You know, because how do you pay your bills if you don't do anything online? I use one credit card. I pay only that one, rah, rah. I'm like, so you're out there. You know, if you're paying something, even if it's only one, you're in databases all over the place. Yeah. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we buy databases for direct mail every day.
Yeah, because don't the states sell your information to different companies and stuff?
Probably.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I would not doubt it at all. You know, so like I said, you know, your information's out there. It's just a matter of being smart, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and everything. And like I said, you know, that's one of the things that's part of my job responsibility is, you know, telling people, you know, no, read the email address. We are this company, not janesayshi.com. You know, it's the obvious ones. You just want to backhand people over because you're like, dude, serious. It's right there. We had someone that was fixing to go and buy $500 in iTunes gift cards and send the PIN numbers to the owner of the company. And I'm like, has she ever asked you to do anything like that, especially by email? Well, no. You know, I should have just shut my mouth and let you do it. I just should have let you do it.
It comes down to it doesn't matter what jail you're in. They don't want a Walmart gift card.
Yeah. No.
You know,
no.
A Walmart gift card for $250 isn't going to get your child or whoever out of prison in Mexico.
No.
Yeah. Or the the Nigerian prince.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here.
Get his money.
I'm going to jump in here for 1 second. I have a story about the Nigerian prince. I grew up in a neighborhood. It was me and one other girl and like 15 boys. So we were good friends growing up. And I asked my mom, it's been about a year and a half ago. I'm like, how's she doing? She goes, oh, she's engaged. I'm like, really? She said, yeah, to a Nigerian prince. And I just died laughing because my mother, God love her, is naive when it comes to electronics and stuff like that. But she's like, what are you talking? What's wrong with you? I'm like, mom, it is an ongoing joke amongst everybody under the sun about the Nigerian prince. I'm like, how much money did she send him? She goes, none, but she's been over there to see him two or three times now. And I'm like, dude, wait, what? She goes, yeah, she's actually been over there and met him. I'm like, well, I'll be damned. There is a Nigerian prince somewhere in the world.
I was going to say, I hope it's real. I've been texting one of them.
I used to work with a guy that was actually from Nigeria, and their idea of prince and ours is totally different. He was telling me that a man can have up to four wives if he can afford her. His father was a prince of their village.
Mm.
You know, so their concept of prince is totally different than what mine was because I was a teenager at the time. But, you know, so he had 24 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
I'm like, how the hell do you keep up with all of them? It's fine. You know, I've known him all my life and he was the oldest. So, you know, he got to come to America to go to college and everything. Yeah. So there is one Nigerian prince. Now, whether he's a bona fide prince or just that's what the village calls him.
Yeah, well even if he is a prince and he has 24 siblings, that's probably not going to amount to much.
No, not much at all. Not much at all. All right, Cecil, what's your favorite prediction?
The Siegfried and Roy attack from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that because that's the one I got pulled up. I don't know. There's a few, like, the ones that blow my mind are the ones that are like predictive programming, basically, in TV and stuff, mm-hmm. like The Simpsons and all this good stuff. Mm-hmm. What was it called? Man on the Moon, which predicted us going to the moon back in 1901, except as a much different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And one of the reasons I have trouble with people being able to see so far into the future is because I feel like people right now have a hard time predicting what actually happened in the past. So it'll be harder to predict what's happening in the future, like a long way down the road. I get like intuition and feeling like something's wrong. I've had those feelings too, that something's wrong. I feel like that's just a connection amongst people, like as one collective unit somewhere. Like back in the day, we probably all had that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, Cecil, the future could be more certain than the past.
That's true. That's exactly true. Because, you know, if you predict the future, there's a chance that, you know, if you're in a role to where you can sway things, it's kind of like a butterfly effect. If you bring it up, it could happen. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, what's your favorite?
My favorite person.
Or the most, or what you would consider really interesting.
One that'd be really interesting. I don't know. Y'all know that I the Bible. So, I mean, the prophecies in the Bible, all those are fascinating to me. I mean, some of the other stuff with World War III, you know, Nostradamus. Yeah. And that, and I think that's really interesting because it looks like things are shaping up now to for that to potentially happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. With China and Russia, you have the BRICS nations that are trying to form their own currency and get away from the U.S. dollar. If that takes place, what's going to be the result of that? You know, if a country owes a lot of money, somebody's going to come want to collect.
Yeah.
And that would be bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's so amazing to me that we owe so much money, but we've gave everybody so much money. Like, they don't they don't really take off our debt. But like, hey, thank you for the free money. You still owe us $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, that's a little bit messed up. Hadley?
I don't know. I'm going to say, like, and I don't have anyone I can cite, but my big thing that I'm looking at is earth changes.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't followed that like I should have, but that was something I was, when we were looking at the end of the Mayan calendar, my big thing was always it's going to be earth changes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen so many. I go back to that movie, was it Day After Tomorrow, where, you know, you can't live beyond like the Mason-Dixon line and not freeze to death. I think that's where we're going.
Yeah. The was it the volcano that erupted last year, how much water did that thing put into the atmosphere?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I did hear, I don't know, David Devine. Have y'all ever, anyone familiar with him?
I've heard of him, I think.
Okay. Yeah. He's, I don't know. He's kind of seemed to think that, you know, we could have may not have a summer.
Yeah.
Because of all that water from that volcano that was put into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he's wrong on that. I would. I don't know. I'd like to watch.
Yeah, that's going to destroy food.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's like, look at bee collapse and stuff. You know, if the bees go away, we're screwed. I mean, you know, we are completely screwed because, you know, that affects food.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Is the, what kind of shape is the Mississippi River in right now? Is it, has the level come up any?
No, I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, speaking of low rivers, did you see that they found Osiris's tomb this week?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I did.
I did not see that.
Mm-hmm. They're already trying to cover it up.
Thing, though, or is that just another TikTok?
The first 2 days it was set in stone that, yeah, we found it. And now they're starting to be like, no, they didn't find it. So I'm sure they found something. Yeah, so I'm sure they found something that's pretty impressive if they're already starting to cover it up, but no, that's not what it was. Mm-hmm. After saying that's what, for sure, what it was for the first 2 or 3 days, but they found it because the Nile's down so low.
Yeah. Oh yeah, everything's low. Yeah. I mean,
California's flooding right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We have a remote worker that lives out there, and they had an earthquake. So I sent her a message, "Hey, just checking on you. Happy New Year." And she goes, "Do you know something I don't?" And I'm like, "Well, you had an earthquake out there." She goes, "Oh, I thought maybe you were talking about all the kayaking down the streets. We're used to earthquakes." And I'm like, "Okay." I never would have crossed my mind not to be concerned about an earthquake.
Floods during the winter and then huge fires during the summer is what's going to happen.
Yep. Yeah. And then it's so dry from all of the fires that then they get mudslides.
Yeah.
When they finally do get all the rain.
Yeah. Yeah, that burns off everything whenever they, with that. So it's, don't know. The whole of California seems to be in a mess. Who knows? Maybe the new California will emerge from it. I don't know.
Maybe.
I know there are people trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I always think what's escape from LA.
Yeah.
So I've always said it would end up an island.
They're doing a good job getting that transatlantic, that trans-Pacific railway set up.
Okay, so what I'm reading here is that the Mississippi River at Baton Rouge was last observed at 14.09 feet, and that was on the 6th.
I've been in swimming pools deeper than that.
I know, and that flood stage is 35 feet.
Yeah.
But it is projected to be up to 22.1 feet by the 18th.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
I know last summer they had to dredge it so that barges could get through it. Mm. You know, they had to go in and dredge sand out because it had gotten so low.
I just can't imagine how bad that smells.
Oh, God. Oh. Don't want to live at Vicksburg right now.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew last year that the farmers, they just had their crops piled up on the banks of the Mississippi River because it was too low to get a fully loaded barge up and down it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, you know, last year our hurricane season was anticipated to, you know, it was projected to be the worst yet, and we did not have a hurricane until September.
Yeah.
And this is in the middle. I think that the Atlantic might have seen some tropical storms more than we did. Right. But it was a really weird storm season.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had the winter apocalypse 2022. And then, you know, it's been 80 degrees here this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went driving around in the apocalypse.
I've had to be outside when it was -6. I had to be outside because they shut our electricity off at that time for 6 hours that night because they decided to go ahead and give us rolling blackouts. So,
that right there is incredibly scary.
Yeah.
Is that the government can do that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, look at Texas a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that was insane, you know, that many people were in that condition because of a power grid. So, you know, what happens when somebody does target our power grid?
Well, yeah. Texas is on its own power grid, so it's a lot easier to...
Right. But they had to get permission. The federal government wouldn't give them permission to turn it up to cover what they knew they were going to need during that negative temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And here recently, you know, there have been some people in, I think, Washington State that have shot some transformers and things like that and knocked out the power in places. Mm-hmm. So, who knows? I mean, it's it seems like we're vulnerable in that aspect.
Yeah. Yep. All right. My favorite prediction. It's not my favorite. It's just from one of my favorite books, Fahrenheit 451. And I had totally forgotten about this until I was researching that. This was written in 1953. And he described, quote, "And in her ears, the little seashells, the thimble radios tamp tight, and an electronic ocean of sound, of music and talk coming in on the shore of her unsleeping mind." That are earbuds. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are several books that, you know, talk about things that were not in existence at the time. But like I said, that was one of my go-to books when I was a teenager. I loved that book. And like I said, when I was researching this, I came back to Carson. I'm like, I do vaguely remember that, you know.
Oh, Elon Musk has made some scary predictions about AI.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking some scary stuff, man. It's, you know, he's super smart. And he's sitting there telling y'all that there's going to be robots that we're not going to know are robots.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that thing in, I guess, Japan where they've made a mouth that can talk and sing? they've replicated the human voice.
Yeah, that you can't tell is robotic.
Well, you can tell. Mm-hmm. And if you look at this thing, it doesn't look like it's made for a robot's mouth, but that's they're saying it is. But they're saying it is.
But, you know, they got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I always think about iRobot, you know, when the robots smart enough that they don't need us, you know.
I think about Terminator.
Well, yeah, that's what Yuval Noah Harari has said. The future doesn't need humans.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's, yep. You know, that's the WEF's right-hand man, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The World Economic Forum. It's Klaus Schwab.
A couple of years ago, I saw Elon on something where he was talking about within 3 years that we would have technology that it would get us, mankind, away from speaking.
Really?
That, you know, well, I mean, look what how many people are using text rather than talking on the telephone now.
Oh, yeah.
And that it would be something that, like, basically you plugged into it, so to speak, and it would take whatever you're thinking and put it into what, you know, I guess someone else's mind or their computer or whatever, which is, and that's what we're moving towards. And the more I hear about that, the more I want to go off grid somewhere.
Well, it's fun what AI can already do. Like, they've got AI out here that can write jokes and tell the jokes. They got ones that can write screenplays and predict the future. And
I have a beta of a text or of a writing AI.
Yeah.
Just, you know, decided, let me play with it. And I put in a title and like 3 points, and it gave me a 500-word document in under a minute.
Yeah.
Was it worth reading?
It was worth reading. That's what I was, where I was going next.
And people are using those for like essays and stuff for college now.
Right. Yeah. So that's what are, you know, teachers going to give kids to do? I mean, you can't put it into like Grammarly and it search for it for what you call it, for plagiarism, because it's unique every time you do it.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell y'all about Grammarly, because I use it to check my stuff when I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff, it messes up more than it fixes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's very scary what AI can do, especially when you start looking at the artwork, because I know we're all looking at the artwork now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because but there's something fascinated about
that artwork that has a darkness to it that disturbs me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah. So it's all this technology, it's definitely a convenience for us. But at the same time, I'm still a little bit leery of it. I'm not ready for a brain implant or a chip in my brain. You know, I think about movies, you know, like I Am Legend.
Yeah.
And how that went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally what they're doing is literally driving us to what we said many times before, idiocracy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to have to do anything. You're just going to exist.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so, when y'all start using Mountain Dew to water your plants, I'm going to worry about you.
Interesting fact, I know people that grow illegal plants that actually spray Mountain Dew on it to make it look cooler.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Is it crystals?
Oh, my God. You know, well, and that's what, you know, I know we talked about it a little bit on our last episode, you know, things that future, things like that. And the fact that, like, I hoard seeds now and stuff like that because, like I said, as people are no longer necessary, then food's not going to be as prevalent. Groceries right now are stupid. You know, a dozen eggs for $8. When you can get Eggland's Best for the same price as the store brand, you know, that's bad. So, you know, I mean, call me crazy, but, you know, I just would prefer not to take a chance of not having stuff available when I need it.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kept the Plastics Corporation the last few months of the year in business by collecting airtight containers to put grains and stuff like that in. And, and you know, I'm going to get Cecil down here because he's the huntsman. And he'll provide the meat.
I'll just steal it.
Yep. I mean, you know, it's scary. You know,
Linda is saying that the organic food at Whole Foods is cheaper than at other stores. And I'll say I've noticed that with meat. At Fresh Market is cheaper than it is at Kroger.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. Not at all. Well, I mean, just... It is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that you can get anything organic for not twice as much as the regular is unusual.
Eggs is blowing my mind. Like down here, it's like $5.50 for eggs.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago, it was like 99 cents.
Hasn't there been some kind of a bunch of eggs have had to be destroyed because of some kind of disease or something, I think, isn't it?
I'm sure they made something up.
Yeah.
I want not that one. Man.
I don't put that right over your face.
I love watching them just destroy random crops last year. That was a fun pastime of mine.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, because I heard stories about it was rotting in the fields and everything. You know, you take that stuff to a city where people don't have anything, it would have been well used.
Well, you would look at a property line of somebody's farm that been bought out by some of these people that we call they, and everything's brown and dead. And then on the about 12 inches away, everything's green and lush. It was kind of strange.
Yeah. Well, that's because recently I was reading an article about Monsanto going over to Africa, and you know, I mean, in a land where people are already struggling to grow crops and everything, now they can only buy modified seed, you know, and they can't save their seed, you know, that they've been doing, you know, for generations.
Yep.
You know, America is one of the few countries that has not banned Monsanto.
One of my neighbors has a theory, and I'm kind of starting to believe it, that whenever you grow things from now on, you know how they always reproduce their own seeds, that you're going to start seeing fewer and fewer seeds that you can actually get from the things that would typically reproduce their seed.
Right. Yeah, they've been doing that with oranges for a long time. So it's the heirloom seeds are getting a little harder to find.
And like I said, I've got a couple of places I can still get them from. But, you know, when one of them's called Rare Seeds, that tells you something. So,
it's going to be like buying crack. You're going to have to buy seeds by the gram.
There you go. They've definitely gone up. Because, you know, used to you could get a pack of seeds for, you know, a couple dollars. You know, now you're lucky if you can get 10 seeds for five if they're heirloom.
Yeah, last year I think I spent $70 or $80 on seeds.
I just sent $37 on some seeds. You know, just because they're in stock right now, you know, and they're heirloom, so I want to get them while they've got them.
Yeah, I mean, if people eat beans, you can go to the big box stores and you can buy some really big bags of beans. You know, you can get 50 pounds of beans right now fairly reasonable.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a bad idea to stock up on some, really.
I have a few. A few. All right, guys. Well, we've gone over. So, now, so strange. But thanks so much for joining us tonight. I think next week we are talking about the Rh blood factor and... We should have a special guest, but I can't verify that. Miss Hadley will be too.
I'll have to find out.
Okay, cool. But other than that, any last words?
We're in the Folk. We'll have a new episode. We was going to record it tomorrow, but I think the technical issues I have may have delayed that till next week. I'm still sitting here trying to figure it out.
Get off and you'll figure it out. It'll be something simple and quick.
No, I think it's F-U-C-T.
All right, Miss Hadley, you've got a book fixing to come out, don't you?
Maybe, maybe not. It's on hold right now while I take care of some business. But
okay.
Other than that, Weird Realities has got a lot of stuff coming up for 2023. Bethany Stutzman, a great horror writer, is going to be doing a campfire tale show with one of her friends. I'm not sure what the name is yet. I think we were talking about blinds and books and campfire tales.
One of them I said sounded horrible after I repeated it to myself.
There's a big debate tonight over what to call it or today. But she's great. Y'all love her. She'll be, I don't know, I think they're going to go live on Wednesday with it. So it'll be Bethany and Crystal. So they're a lot of fun. I think that everybody will love their show. And we've got a lot of new stuff coming up too. So just be on the lookout. And Morgana and I are working on the 2024 get together. So if you're interested, be sure to keep in touch with us because we will be letting y'all know as we know. But it looks like it's going to be taking place in Central Mississippi, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah. So. Yep. We got to fly Cecil down.
Take the train.
That's right.
Take the train. You can drink.
I can drink and drive down there too, right?
Well, we'd rather you let Mandy drive if you're going to do that.
I might be able to rent like a Tesla or something.
You know, I always said I was going to get one just so I could make my own car sounds one time.
Also, Rich Rastucci is going to be doing some programs for us. One of them is called 10 Minutes of Dick, which he's going to be reading some great, some of his favorite authors from their books that they have released. And then he's also going to do that prepper show, which I'm really excited about. I'm eager to see what he's going to get into with that. So y'all be on the lookout for it.
Yeah, the prepper show. I'm looking forward to what he's going to have on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That one's going to be really interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, guys, let's call it. And we hope to see you back next week. And until next time, stay weird.
Night, dudes.
Good night, everyone.